Gemara in Pei Beis Amud Aleph quotes the 10 takonis of Ezra. So one of them was about the Kriyas HaTorah. So the Gemara says, but the Kriyas HaTorah was instituted in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. A remez to that is the pasuk Ve'elchu Shloshes Yomim Bamidbar V'lo Motzei Mayim Eimayim Ala Torah Shenemar Ol Kol Tzomer V'Kol Hamayim. So it says in the Braisa, Omdu Nevim Shebineim V'Tiknu Moshe Rabbeinu Beis Din Amir Takonah. So the Gemara sounds like it's a takana de rabbanon that the link Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos Sheni v'Chamishi. So that's a question. The takana de rabbanon was shelayochu shloshi samin b'lo Torah so Sheni v'Chamishi was instituted, but Shabbos perhaps is a real din deraisa. But he say no, even the Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos is also only with the rabbanon. The Bach makes such a suggestion that maybe the Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos was not a takana de Rabbanon. The takana was on Sheni v'Chamishi. Shabbos and Yontav maybe is a din deraisa based on what? Based on what? The Ramban HaChumash has such a suggestion on the pasuk in Parshas Emor and the Parshas HaMoados. The pasuk describes Shabbos and Yontav as Mikra Kodesh. So that's the question, how do you translate the word Mikra Kodesh? So the Ramban thinks in Pshuto Shal Mikra that it means a day of holy assemblage. They gather together, Mikra, like Gela Kruei Ho'eda. Kruei Ho'eda means those who gather together, the representatives of Klal Yisrael. The Ramban thinks that on Shabbos and Yontiv, there's a Chiyav Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, Talmud Torah B'Tzibur, the Chochem should give it Rasha. Torah Shabbal Peh, you should learn Torah Shabbichsav, you should have Tefillah B'Tzibur, you have to have holy things B'Tzibur. Mikra Kodesh, a day of gathering together for Kedusha Dikah purposes. It's interesting, that's what the Prima Gaon points out, that the Ramban is one who disagrees with the Rambam. The Rambam holds that Tefillah B'Chol Yom is the Raisa once a day, every day. Ramban holds that Tefillah B'Chol Yom is only the Rabbanon, and the Sefer HaMitzvahs, I think Mitzvah says, hey, where the Rambam comes up with his idea, Mitzvah Sesa Aleph, I think, is Emuna. You should believe in HaKadosh Baruch. Mitzvah Sesa Beis is Yichud Hashem. You should believe there's only one God. And Gimel and Dalet is Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem. And after Avos Hashem, Yiras Hashem, because the Mitzvah Hey is Tefillah. So the Rambam holds that Tefillah B'chol Yom, once a day, every day, is an obligation to daven min HaTorah. And the Ramban has a whole attack against the Rambam. That is not so. Tefillah B'chol Yom is only the Rabban. So even though the Ramban holds that Tefillah B'chol Yom is only the Rabban, that's what the Prima Gaon points out. It's interesting, the Ramban holds that Tefillah B'tzibur on Shabbos Yontav is their right. Tefillah B'tzibur on Shabbos Yontav is their right. Tefillah B'chol Yom is only the Rabbanon, but on Shabbos Yontav, Tefillah B'tzibur is their right. Some people go away on vacation, they go to Utah, whatever, they go to Montana, skiing in the winter time. So where's going to be the Tefillah B'tzibur? How are they going to be behind? I mean, they set up a shul in Borough Park. They set up their shul in Flatbush. They yotze their tefillah b'tzibur. Doesn't mean that you should see to it there should be tefillah. Klal Yisrael should see to it that there should be a tefillah b'tzibur. It means that you personally should daven tefillah b'tzibur. The Prima Gaon understands that what the Rambam meant was that you personally should daven tefillah b'tzibur. He thinks also that every tefillah should be tefillah b'tzibur. That's also min HaTorah. He has a chiddush. The Prima Gaon has this chiddush. That on Shabbos and Yontif, whatever tefillahs you have to daven v'tzibur min HaTorah. That's why he has a comment that on Shavuos, in many communities, they had a minig that people stayed up to learn all night, and then they were tired, so they davened vasikin in the morning. They didn't go to the regular 8:30 minyan, or 9 o'clock minyan on Shavuos month. So usually what happened was that everyone stays up a little bit, and then the older people go to sleep at 11 o'clock, and then the little younger, they go to sleep at 1 o'clock. And the younger people stay up all night. So he says, sometimes it comes in the morning, you just have people who are barely bar mitzvah. And we assume that they're bar mitzvah based on the chazaka of Rava. The Gemara says in Maseches Nida that a person is only a girl or a boy, is only bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, if they have shonim v'simonim. You have to have yud gimel shonim v'yamechot. If it's a girl, yud bei shonim v'yamechot. You have to have shtei sairis. So how do you know whether anybody has Shtei Saris? When we daven Tefillah B'Tzibur, we say Kedusha. How do you know you have Shtei Saris? Oh, the people have a beard growing, so we know that they have Shtei Saris. So Rashi says, if you have Seir growing over here, so be Yodu al Kishri Yetzbeisel, so be Yodu that there's Shtei Saris growing on the Eivah HaErevah also. But if you don't have this, you don't have that, so So how do you know that they have Shtei Sar? So we assume everyone in college is already way past the age of 13. So we assume that whoever calls she Higir L'Chalal Shonim, Higir L'Chalal Simon. This is a Ruba D'Loi Sikamon. That whoever is Yud Gimel Shonim V'Yamechot probably has Shtei Saras. So the Gemara says in Maseches Nida, you shouldn't rely on this Chazokah that Rabbi says is such a Chazokah. You should not rely on this Chazokah with respect to doing Chalitza. That the Ish Ksid Parsha. It says, Kacha Yasal Ish, Ashel Yibnes Beisachiv. The Chalitza has to be done by the surviving brother of the one who died, and the surviving brother has to be Bar Mitzvah. If he's a Kotten, he can't do Chalitza. That's a din derais ish ksiv parsha. So the Gemara says, "Benegia to chalitza, you have to check to make sure that he really has the shtei saris. You shouldn't rely on the chazaka derab." Or let's say, "Benegia to writing a get has to be written shmo. So the one, the sefer who writes the get, has to be bar mitzvah." So that's a serious issue. If we're not sure if he's bar mitzvah, so it's not right. The Gemara says you shouldn't rely on the chazaka derab. That since the boy already celebrated his bar mitzvah. So be a door that he has shtei saris. You can rely on that to be mitzar from to a minyan. We daven for an omet. We have chazaras hashatz, and we have kriyas hatorah, and you have kaddish and gedusha and baruchu. That you can rely on the chazaka derav. So the Magen Avraham in one place in Orach Chaim assumes that the pshat and the gemara need is not only for there's a stir in the Magen Avraham. One place the nitziv points out the stir. Before the nitziv, they point out the stir. One place the Magen Avraham says that. You're machmir when you get to inyana issues. When you get to chalitza, when you get to get, you're machmir to check for the shtei saris. Another place, the Magen Avraham says, you're machmir for all dinim deraisa. You wouldn't allow such a boy, it's just by mitzvah, to write an oisa in the Sefer Torah either, because you have to have the ksiva soisias in the Sefer Torah, has to be lishma. And the Gemara says that a cotton cannot write lishma. So, according to that, according to that Magen Avraham, according to that position of Magen Avraham, that Yimachma, for all Dim Deraisa, you shouldn't rely on Chazaka Derobah. So the Prim Gadim has a taina that in many communities on Shavuos morning, they need, you don't have so many people. If you have a person who already has children, so be a door that he's a Gadol already. If he's a Kotan, Kotan, a Moilin, okay. If he has his beard is growing, so be a door that he has Shtei Saris, okay. If he has hair growing over here, be a door. But he says a lot of times in the morning on Shavuos you have to be mitzarif to your minyan, a person who is just barely bar mitzvah, and you don't know if he has shtei saris. He thinks that that's not right. He thinks that this is a din, according to the Ramban, it's a din deraisa that every tefillah on Shavuos, every tefillah on Shabbos Yontov should be tefillah v'tziba. I would have thought it's always good to daven tefillah v'tziba. It's always recommended. Forget about Shabbos and Yontov. Weekdays also you're supposed to daven tefillah v'tziba. But this chiyuv deraisa is to daven every single tefillah on yontif tefillah v'tzibur. It doesn't mean you should see to it that one of the tefillahs should be daven tefillah v'tzibur. So the Prima Gadim understands in the Ramban that every one of the tefillahs should be tefillah v'tzibur. Anyway, so this is Shaila. Based on that Ramban that he says, Mikra Kodesh, a day that you gather together for Nyani Kiddusha. So he says that so the Ritvo in Megillah has such a suggestion. Probably based on, he doesn't quote that Ramban. Probably based on that Ramban, that the Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos and Yontov, that's their eyes. That's their eyes.
You can call up a cotton, which is doesn't have any of this money.
But saying the brachas, I don't know, saying the brachas probably is only the Rabban of the Balkari. I mean, the Balkari shouldn't be a boy who was just barely bar mitzvah. Okay, the Balkari should be one who is biyadua that he is bar mitzvah. Like many amakbid for Parsha Zohar. Because it says in Shulchan Aruch that there are those who say Parsha Zohar is their Isa, so many are makbid that the one who lays Parsha Zohar shouldn't just be a boy who is barely bar mitzvah, should be one that be Yodua that we know that he has Shtei Saris. So that's the suggestion. He said on every Shabbos and Yontem, if the Kriyas HaTorah is their Isa, the Balkare should be one who is be Yodua, should have a beard. Sure, okay, should have a beard.
He's had a lot of bar mitzvah boys.
Okay.
And that bar mitzvah.
Yeah, that's a problem. On Shabbos, the bar mitzvah is on Shabbos. Yeah. So how do you let the bar mitzvah boy lay on Shabbos? If Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, you don't have to visit the rice and the people. God says you have to check for Shtei Saris. So you got a bit of a problem. Anyway, this is the Shaila. When it says in the Gemara, V'tiknu. Om d'rivim sheminei, V'tiknu lohem sheyukorim b'Shabbos, ha-mafsikim b'echad b'Shabbos korim b'sheni v'chamishi. So the korim b'Shabbos is also part of the takana of the Rabban, shelo yochel shloshis hayamim b'le Torah. Oh no, the Karim b'Shabbos, that was a din deraisa. That for that you don't need the tiknu chachamim shebenei. Maybe the whole din derabanan only goes on the sheinim achamishim. The Gemara has in the end of Megillah also. No, the Gemara has the pasuk. Gedav Moshe is meyadei Hashem al bnei Yisrael. Mitzvosim sheyukorim osim kol echad v'yechad bizmanoi. What does that mean? Gedav Moshe is meyadei Hashem al bnei Yisrael. Mitzvosim the last Gemara in Megillah. Mitzvosim sheyukorim osim kol echad v'yechad bizmano. Sounds maybe that Kriyas HaTorah and Yontif is deraisa. What do you mean? Yontif is more chavan than Shabbos. It means that Shabbos and Yontif, you should always lay in a Kriyas HaTorah deraisa. Maybe that's what it means. Then the Gemara has the very last line, Tana Rabbanan HaBraisa, right after quoting with Abba Moshe. Vayda B'Moshe is Mo'adi Hashem O'Bnei Yisrael. Is a Pasuk in Chumash. That means that that's a Din deraisa, or that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. He made a Takana. He made this takana. So that's what's unclear. First, the Gemara has Vaydaba Moshe Ma'ad Hashem Al Bnei Yisrael Mitzvosam Sheikor Mosam Kavech Liecha Bismada on the Kuda Taim. Then you have two dots. Then it says Tana Rabbanon Abraisa Moshe Tikin Lehem Li Yisrael at Takana de Rabbanon Sheishor Lamedarshim Bein Yonashal Yom Hilchas Pesach Bepesach Hilchas Atzeres Batzeres Hilchas Chag Bechag. What do you mean? Sheishor Lamedarshim Bein Yonashal Yom. What does it mean that the Talmud Chacham should give a drasha on Hilchas Yontif? On every Yontif, he should give a drasha on Hilchas Yontif. That's a takana de Rabbanon. Shalom Darshan goes on Torah Shebal Peh. That's a takana de Rabbanon. Adab Moshe is Me'ad Hashem Amenez on the Torah Shebal Peh. Shiyukorim, Kriya means Mitoch Aksav. Kriya means Torah Shebal Sav. So the Kriya Sator is their Eise on Yontif and on Shabbos. And the Rabbi's sermon is only with the Rabbanon. The rabbi gives a drasha that's only with the Rabban. It's a little unclear. Anyway, that's what the Bach suggests. And they quote a ritual like that. The Shari Tshuva, next to the Beheta. And Luchas Kriyas HaTorah quotes the Bach and the ritual Megillah that Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos and Yom Tov perhaps is their Isa. And when the Gemara says over here, it means that Sheni V'Chamishi is the Rabban. I think the other day we were talking, how did it come up, I don't remember, about the three psukim and the ten psukim we discussed. The Rav Soloveitchik gave a suggestion. Why did they make a takana that the minimum number of psukim for an aliyah should be three, and the minimum for the whole Kriyas HaTorah of three aliyahs should be ten? Why ten? If you have three aliyahs and three psukim, it should be nine. And why is the minimum... In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says maybe the takana was three aliyahs and one pasuk each. And then Ezra changed it and he made it into three psukim. Three psukim and three aliyahs, and it has to be ten. Why? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested, and that's what it says in some Rishonim like that, that sometimes you have two psukim in a row and it doesn't say anything. So you don't even know what the topic is. You didn't even get anywhere yet. You have to have the third pasuk. Sometimes you need the third pasuk to introduce the haschol of the whole topic. Before you get to the third pasuk, sometimes you didn't even scratch the surface. Then in ten psukim, the Gemara says you have to have a minimum of ten psukim. So the shaila is that on Purim, when we learn Kriyas HaTorah on Purim, that's what we spoke about on Thursday. On Pash, no. On Mishalach, that's it. So we spoke about the Kriya on Purim is only nine psukim. The last nine psukim in Parshas B'Shalach, so Taisus and Megillah is the Kasha, but the Kriya Satara has to have a minimum of ten psukim. So Taisus gives the Mechaber quotes one suggestion that you lay over the last pasuk twice and makes it into ten psukim. You repeat the last pasuk twice. And our practice is we don't do like that. So why we rely on Taisus is a Shalim and Yona. If the whole topic is completed in nine psukim, so then you yotze with less than 10 psukim. Shalim and Yonah comes from the Gemara. Gemara doesn't say it on 10 psukim. Gemara says it on 21 psukim. That the Haftarah has to have a minimum, Haftarah on Shabbos, has to have a minimum of 21 psukim. Why a minimum? What's the magical number 21? Because the Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos is 7 aliyahs, and each aliyah should have a minimum of 3 psukim. So 3 times 7 is 21. So the Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos should have a minimum of 21 psukim. So the haftarah is supposed to be mechuvin keneged. The number of psukim in the haftarah was instituted by the Tanaim. Mechuvin keneged, the minimum number of psukim in the kriyas haftarah. Then the Gemara says, but once in a while you have haftarah that has way less than 21 psukim. So the Gemara says, shalim in yonah, if the whole topic is completed and less than 21 psukim is also good. So I said, just like shalim in yonah can substitute for the number 21. So shalim in yonah can substitute for the number of 10 psukim. So Rav Soloveitchik suggests that maybe pshat and tesis is that even if you have a long, let's say, parsha, paraduma is very long. Even if you have a long parsha that has more than 10 psukim, sometimes you need 3 psukim to get to first base, to begin to know, to scratch the surface. But if you've already read 10 psukim, so it's biyodua that you have already completed a whole chunk. Maybe you didn't finish the whole topic completely. Parshas Paraduma is much longer, but at least he completed a big unit of it. So if it's so, that's why the Chachamim instituted that the Kriyas HaTorah, minimum number of psukim Kriyas HaTorah, should be 10. The Gemara says, Keneged Asara Batlanim. I don't know what that's supposed to represent. Why does the Gemara say what Rav Soloveitchik said? Actually, I don't know. Does the Gemara give a remiss? I don't know. So he said, if it's Shalom and Yonah 9, says the Chavadigut, you can't have less than 9, because each Aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim. That was the Takana. So 3 times 3 is 9. Why do they institute 10? Because it should be Shalom and Yonah. But if it is Shalom and Yonah 9, so it's good the way it is. But the problem is the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, can they get Asara Batlanim? What's Asara Batlanim? So Rashi tells you what it means. I don't know. Why do they give such an explanation? I don't know. Then the Gemara says, made a takana that the women should do the laundry on Thursday. So the house shouldn't be a sloppy mess on Shabbos. You shouldn't rush into Shabbos the last minute. They're going to be hanging up, they're going to take out the laundry from the washing machine and hang it up, and everything's going to be dripping on Shabbos. The whole house is going to look like a holy wreck. So that's not right. You shouldn't quit on Shabbos. You should finish all the laundry on Thursday, and the house should not look like a wreck on Shabbos. She ochlem shum b'erev Shabbos. What shum is garlic? Why? So the pashtus in the Gemara is that it's only for married people, mishumayno. It's a little bit missing over here. It says on the side, "Ksubas daf samach beis on beis ayin sham." Ayin sham means that there's a slight chain of girsa. Yeah, the slight chain of girsa is that over there, instead of only having 3 names, it has 4 names. It says Omer Yuda, and maybe it's Rab Nachman, and maybe it's Rab Kana, or maybe Rab Yechanan. No, it's talking all the same 4 names. All the same 4 names, I think. But there it has a little bit more. The Gemara, it's a whole discussion of the chiyuv oina, sher ksus v'nasa lo yigra. The husband is mechuyev in oina sishtoi. So how much is mechuyev? 10 times a day is mechuyev in oina. So the Gemara says it depends how hard he works. The Gemara says, Talmid HaChachamim, Zman HaGemara used to work very hard. He used to get exhausted from learning. There are some, in every generation, there are some Talmid HaChachamim who work very hard and get exhausted from learning. They describe that to Chazanish. It's unbelievable. But other people used to really get exhausted. I don't know. Most people that I know, atakanat tamid chacham. The Gemara says, "Ain tamach chacham is man hazeh." There's no din of tamach chacham. It says in Shulchan Aruch, "There's no din of tamach chacham is man hazeh." So the Gemara said, "That's why this din taka said in Shulchan Aruch that is different." Oinus tamach chacham is only once a week. So the Gemara says, because he works very hard, he gets exhausted. Other people only have a chiyavana once a month, once every 2 months, and other people at the poilim have a chiyavana every day. If they just work from 9 to 5 and they come home, so they have a chiyavana every day. So the Gemara says, by one is a tamachachim, and he has only a chiyavana once a week, so you should save it for Leil Shabbos, that should be the Onik Shabbos. So they made a takana that the married people should eat shum and Erev Shabbos, because the Braisa says, Tanabon, Chamish Ledvarim Nemer B'shum, and one of the things is that it's Mar B'Hazera. So then it helps out in the Oynes Talmud Chochm. Yeah. The quote from the Vilna Gaon that he was makpid that even the single people should eat shum on Erev Shabbos. Either reason doesn't apply. So he says when the Gemara gives a reason for a takana, that's one reason. There are many more reasons. He said that they quote the name of the Vilna Gaon. He thought that's why we have a rule that Dovashir Minyan, Tzach Minyan Achala Hatira. Even when the Gemara makes a takana d'Rabban, they give you the reason. So even if you live in a generation where that reason doesn't apply, the Takana Rabban still applies unless you have Tzach Minyan Achal Atir, unless you have a Bezin who will repeal, who has the right to, the authority to repeal that Takana Rabban. Why? So he claimed the quote from the Vilna Gaon. He said because the reasons that are given in the Gemara, that's one reason. There's always more than one reason. So he thought that this takana d'rabbanan to eat shum, there's more than one reason. I don't know. He doesn't tell you what the secret is. What's the additional reason?
Rabbi, there could be a view from the Mishnah Nedarim where there's a series of Radio Subinom Konam Shum She'in Toy Mashkeh Shabbos. So, Inu Asr Ela Adlevi Shabbos. Shalom Iskabinza Ela Ad Shash Derf Ne'onom Ma'afol Shum.
All the Jews
eat Shum. Shalom Iskabinza Ela Ad Shash Derf Ne'onom. So, it's Darko Shalonom and there's no food between.
Yeah, look, my wife cooks the chicken, so she puts in garlic. So my children, all the boys, the girls, everybody eats the same chicken. She's going to cook separate chicken for the husband, cook separate chicken for the single children. All the married children, all the married men should eat this chicken, and the single people and the women should eat that chicken. Everybody eats the shum on Hashem, yeah. In the Mishnah, it would appear that everybody eats shum. Does it? Does mean that's a takana? Okay. That's what they quote from the Vilna Gaon. Okay.
Perhaps there's another reason for the Asar Batlan. The Asar Batlan. The Gemara says that I think foolish are those that they stand up for the Talmud, for the sacred Torah, but not for the Talmud Chacham.
Mm-hmm.
So this is to remind them that during the Asar Torah, that's for the Talmud Chacham, the Asar Batlan.
The Asar Batlan, my learned people. I don't know. Rashi says, "P'tenim malach malasek b'tzorchei tzibur." What do you mean? It sounds like the mayor and the chief of police. It sounds like if it's a religious community, so all the policemen are religious, with tzitzis and everything. Yeah, Bnei Brak. Policemen have beards and they have payas and they have tzitzis. Yeah, but doesn't necessarily mean that they're tamid chacham. This I don't know. The Mishnah does. The Mishnah Nedarim says that the tzedukim didn't eat shum. The tzedukim didn't follow the takan. There's such a Mishnah.
Yeah.
Ochli shum means the religious Orthodox Jews. The Reformed Jews did not eat shum. What do they have against eating shum? Why didn't they like the takan of Ezra? What's going on? Yeah. That's a Mishnah Nedarim. I don't know. There must be something missing here. What the tzedukim? What the tzedukim didn't follow any takan of the Rabban. The Tzedukim only followed what it says in the Chumash. They didn't follow any Takana d'Rabban. So because this is Takana Sezra, so by definition they don't like it. They never had any Takana d'Rabban.
My Mishnah says Kusim.
Kusim didn't follow.
Would it be a difference?
Yeah, it's a different group. Reform, conservative, destruction.
Different title.
Yeah. Different. Each one had a different brand of Judaism. Yeah. Then another takana. Whenever the woman is interested in baking, whenever she bakes, she should bake early in Moshe. Teisha mashkemes we offer because they pass mitzuyah alaniim. Rashi says whichever day of the week she's interested in baking. If she bakes, Rashi writes, six lines from the top. Yom sheitzvicha lefos. On the day on which she plans to bake. That's it. She's not going to bake on Friday morning. She's afraid that it won't be ready for Shabbos. She's going to bake on Thursday. So whenever she bakes, she should do it early in the morning so she'll have pas ready to give to aniyim who will be in need. Okay. Shadisha chogeris b'sina mishum tzniyusa. Okay. A woman shouldn't just walk around with a robe. She should always wear underpants. Mishum tzniyusa. Takana says, Shadisha chofefes v'tovelis. A woman has to go to the mikveh, should do chafifa in advance. That there shouldn't be any chatzitza. So the Gemara says, Chatzitz, isn't that a din deraisa? What do you mean, a takana sezra? Frag the Gemara deraisa, the tani, rochat says, Psar l'mayim, shalei dovachetz, b'msor l'mayim, v'darshim from the pasuk, as b'msor l'mayim, rochat says, Psar l'mayim, there shouldn't be any chatzitzes. And then the Gemara darshims from the word es b'msor, es atofel the b'msor, mani hu seyor, there shouldn't be any chatzitze with the seyor either. The word es is always marred with something. How did the Gemara say before? By Shara Niskal is also Bano. Velo Yochel Es Bisara. Es Atafel Bisara that it goes on the Or. That the hide of the Shara Niskal is also Asa Bano. Es Atafel Bisara. That goes on the Or. And here it goes on the Seir. Here it goes on the Seir. What does it go? Es Hashem Elkech Atiro the Rabbis Talmid HaChachamim. It's also a Gemara before in Bava Kama. Here the Gemara says it's your marbe something that's tuffel to the basa. There by the or also. Lo yochel es b'sar es a tuffel b'sar marbe the or is also b'hanua. So there the Marami Prak says that es Hashem l'kechatira is marbe something which is tuffel to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, which is very close to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Name it talmid chacham. The reason why Mara Rabbah Kemara Shamayim. Rabbi Muvak is because the Talmid Chachamim ain't Talmid Chachamim b'zman hazeh. There aren't too many around. So Talmid Chachamim is supposed to be closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, supposed to be tougher to the Rabbanu Shlomo. Es Hashem l'kechatira the rabbi is Es is marbe, that person who is tougher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who is that? That's supposed to be a Talmid Chachamim, like over here. Es is marbe, the seir, which is tougher to the Baruch Hu. Yeah. What exactly does this mean? That first of all, it means that seir needs tefillah in the mikveh. You shouldn't think that a woman has long hair. A man has long hair, so let's say he'll be tovel in the mikveh, and hair can float on top. No, the hair has to be submerged under the water. That's number one. You need tefillah on the seir. Number two, that just like there's a din of chatzitza on the basar, so too there is a din of chatzitza on the seir. That's the question. Is it just like so too? The din of chatzitza on the basar carry over to the seir? Or perhaps it's not as strict as the dinim of chatzitza on the basar. That's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi claims that the Gemara says in different places, beginning of Erevin, beginning of Sukkah, the Gemara says that a chatzitza min haTorah is only if it's ruba yomakbid. If it's only a miut, a chatzitza only covers a miut of the body, or let's say covers rub of the body, but the person is not makbid, that doesn't constitute a chatzitza. So Rashi's opinion is that only applies to seir. Any chatzitza on the skin is a chatzitza. Any chatzitza, even if it's a mere chain of makbid, Rashi shita that's a chatzitza. Needless to say, we don't follow Rashi. We try to remove all the chatzitzas that's a chumrah. From Yikra, then we say, if it's a mere chain of makbid, it's not even a chatzitza midrabban. In order to be a chatzitza min haTorah, it has to be rubo and makbid. The midrabbanan made exer a rubo shein makbid and a miuta makbid, otu rubo hamakbid. But if it's a miut shein makbid, it's twice removed from the din deraisa. So then there isn't even exer the rabban. Rashi shita is that even miut shein makbid is also a chatzitza when it's on the basar. Tosfos is yes against Rashi. The Gemara in Yevamos Daf Ayin Ches talks about ishamul beres is tovel and a mikvah. The Gemara happens to be talking about conversion there. The Gemara says a non-Jewish woman is converting to become Jewish. So when she's tovel in the mikvahs, l'shem geirus, so the tefillah is ola for the uber. So the Gemara says, how can it be ola for the uber? It's even though the baby is not makbid, the baby is very happy to be inside the mother's body. So it's eno makbid, the chatzitza of the mother's body has a tefillah in the mikvah. The uber, the water doesn't touch the uber at all. It's not going to help if she's going to stand in the mikveh for an hour. The water's not going to go inside her body. So the uber is kuloi. It's a chatzitza of kuloi. So the Gemara says that even though there's a din that rubai, the eino makbid is not a chatzitza min haTorah, but if it's kuloi, even if you're not makbid, it is a chatzitza. So how can the tefillah of the mother be oiled for the uber since it's a chatzitza on kuloi? So the Gemara gives an answer on that kash. That sometimes it's not a chatzitza, if that's the way the person wants it. Here, this is the best thing for the baby, that it should be inside the mother's body at this time, till it's time for the baby to be born, so that doesn't constitute a chatzitza. So Tosfos Tainus against Rashi. According to Rashi, that this kula of Ruba Ibn Makbid is not a chatzitza, and so on, and even Dafka Ruba Makbid, that's only a kula Rashi Shita by the Seyor, but by the Basar, there's no kula. So what is more talking about the Uber? That it's first the Gemara says, well, it's eino makbid, it's ruba eino makbid. No, the Gemara says it's kula. What do you have to have kula? Even a miut chain of makbid is also chatzitza. You're talking about the basar of the uba. So the Rishonim say they defend Rashi. Many Rishonim defend Rashi. They say Rashi holds that an uba is also like seir. An uba wasn't born yet. Uba is like seir. All the side things. When you have real basar of a person who's a yolud or who's born, then any chatzitza kosher who constitutes a chatzitza. Anything is a chatzitza. Anyway, we don't follow Rashi. In Shulchan Aruch, that's assumed as a chumrah.
Do we pass them like that, lashon more like kulo, even by eino makbid tafel?
Min haTorah, yeah. Kulo, if you have a chatzitza of kulo, even though it's eino makbid, the Gemara says that's a chatzitza min haTorah, even though it's eino makbid. If it's ruba deina makbid, then it's only a chatzitzim of the rabbanon. But if it's kula, a chatzitzan kula, even though it's ain't a makbid, that would be a chatzitzim of the rabbanon. That's what the Gemara says. Yeah, so we assume that this drasha means the two things, that number one, es hatofel l'psor, that you need tvila on the seor, and number two, that the dinim of chatzitz on the basar carry over to the seor. It's not that the seor is more lenient. The exact same din. The din of chatzitz by the basar is ruba makbid, and it's the same rule regarding the seor. The Rambam quotes a machlekes between himself and the Gaonim. The Rambam usually doesn't quote any machlekes in. Rambam says he's going to leave out all the machlekes, just going to give the psak halach. But in about 100 places or so, so the Rambam quotes a machlekes. So this is one of them. So he thinks that the Gemara talks about the hair is all knotted and dirty, whatever, filthy. So it's a chatzitza. So the whereas the Gaonim say that you treat the hair as a separate entity, and if all the hair is all full of paint or something, rubai, so that constitutes a chatzitza. So the Rambam says no. The hair, let's say a person has very long hair, so the hair is considered an extension of the body. So even if all of the hair has a chatzitza, but the body doesn't have a chatzitza, so usually the hair is just going to be a miut. What shach, unless a person has such long hair, the nazir. Okay, the nazir was a nazir for many years. Maybe he had such long hair. I remember when I met the nazir, his yarmulke was sitting up like this, and he had everything in between. It was all of his hair. His yarmulke was suspended in midair, a few inches above his head, and everything in between was hair. So the Rambam writes that the hair is mitzaref to the body. You have to determine the whole surface of the whole body with the surface of the hair all together. Sach hakol. Do you have a ruboy makbid or do you have a miut makbid? Is it the rice? Is it the rabbanon? And the goyim say no, that they treat the hair as a separate entity. So that's a shaila. What exactly do the goyim mean? So some understand that the goyim meant that seir, since seir is nidrash from the pasuk es. S is as a tofel psarai umainihu seor. So seor is treated as a separate entity. That's how Avobel Soloveitchik understands it. The sefer on the Rambam, he thinks that that's the pshat in the Goyim. And the Meiri, in the beginning of Erevin, quotes the Goyim as saying a little differently. The Goyim hold that you treat every organ as a separate entity. Let's say on my pinky, I have three avorim. That's the Mishnah in Aholos. List off which are the ramach avorim that a male has. A female body doesn't have ramach. A male has resh mem ches evarim. So this is one, two, three. Every time you have an etzem, bosa gidin ratzamas, bosa gidin etzem constitutes an evar. So this is three evarim. This is three. This finger. This is also three. I guess this is two. I'm not sure. Every time you have a bone, that's called an evar. So the Meiri understands that the Goyim said not only the seir is treated as a separate entity, you treat every evar separately. So let's say I'll have on the pinky, I'll have full of ink or full of paint over here on rove of the tip of the pinky. So the whole tefillah won't be any good. That's ruboy makbid. And that's why, the Meiri says, and that's why the minig is that the women are medaktik to remove every little chatzitza. Because if it would have been on the tip of the pinky, that's probably the tiniest eva that I have. So if it would have been just ink like this, it would have been ruboy umakbid. Normally, if I'd be a scribe and my fingers write Sifrei Torah and my fingers are always full of ink, or I'm a painter and my face is always full of paint and I go to weddings like that, okay, so it's ain't a makbid, the Mishnah says. A sefer has ink on his fingers all the time, and a painter has paint on his body all the time, so that's ain't a makbid. But I'm not a sefer, so if I would have, let's say, ink on the tip of the pinky, I would keep on rubbing it off till I would remove it, I would get something to get it off. So that's a ruba yomakbid. So that's why the meaning developed to remove every chatzitz on the belly or on the arm. On the arm, it's a mir chain of makbid. What's the problem? The answer is because if it would have been over here on the pinky, that would have been a ruba yomakbid. So the same size of ink. If it would be on a different part of the body, it's a miyut. So the minig developed that we're machmer on that minig. It's not a thing. We're machmer on any chatzitza on the big organs or to the little organs, because on a little organ that would have constituted ruba, that would have been a chatzitza midina with the rabbanon. Anyway, that's the second version of the Gaonim. The two versions, what were the Gaonim driving at? So the way the Rambam quotes it, Rav Avala says the Gaonim only said, this is in the Rambam where he has this thing in Hilchos Mikvos. The way it says in the Rambam, it sounds like they only treat the seir as a separate entity. Because Seir is learned out from a drasha from the pasuk. So he treats the Seir separately. And the Meiri quotes the Gaonim as saying that not only Seir is a different, separate entity, every Aver is treated as a separate entity. And the Raiva thinks the Gaonim are right. Here it is. Perk Beis, Halacha Tezvo. The Royali, first he quotes the Gaonim. The Goyim, first he quotes the Goyim. The Goyim hold that you treat this Seir as a separate entity. A royal lead, that it's not correct. Even though the whole hair is full of chatzitzes, the whole hair is full of paint or whatever, that's still, it's a miyot of the whole body, so it's, you should treat it like a miyot, not a zero. And the Ravid writes, Amar Avram, Kidibra Gaonim Hoiker. He thinks that the Gaonim are right. Okay. Yeah. So, Shaila, what did the Gaonim mean?
I think the Ritz does mean actually Rashi, places kind of on Rashi.
Yeah.
To say that Rashi didn't really mean to argue on places, but he's just going within Shitas HaGaonim. That this, to tell you that Seir is a separate entity, so therefore.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Fillings and teeth. Yeah, the Gemara says even a chatzitza inside, even though a person doesn't have to open their mouth when they go to the mikveh, there's no need for bias mayim, there's no need to open your eyes, open your mouth. But if you have a chatzitza inside the eyes, a chatzitza inside the mouth, that constitutes a chatzitza, right? So that's a shot. What about fillings? Yeah. So the pashtus is that it's a miyot chena makbet. It's not a chatzitza today. Chochma Sodom writes that it's a chatzitza. So the poskim say that that was in the days of the Chochma Sodom, that the fillings were rolling around in the teeth, they weren't so good. But the dentists today do a much better job, so by us it's a miyochena makbet. Adarabba, the makbet, they want a chatzitza there. That's like the Gemara said, the Gemara says that legabi the uber, even though it's kuloi, the mother's body, Gemara in Yibam is dafayin ches. The Gemara says, maberish and isgarib, no ein etzorach tefillah. If the goyish woman is tevel in the mikveh and she's pregnant with a baby, whether baby boy, baby girl, does make a difference. The Gemara says the child will not require tefillah later in order to become Jewish. The child is yotze with the tefillah of the mother. The Gemara says it's a chatzitza because it's kuloi. The Gemara says no. Heinrich Vise, that's the way the baby grows. So that's not a chatzitza at all. That doesn't. The whole topic of rubai umakbid. Miyuta makbid, Rubeina makbid, the whole topic only applies to the Rambam writes in Perek Aleph and Hilchas Mikvoas, Halacha Yibeis. Rambam writes, all of these dinim of Ruba makbid only apply if the thing is a chatzitza. If I have six fingers, that's not a chatzitza. That's where I was born. I was born with six fingers. You're going to say the six fingers are a chatzitza on the rest of the hand. If I cut off the sixth finger and then I put it back on, then it'll be a chatzitza. But the way it is now, that's where I was born with six fingers. Part of the body. So the Gemara says that by the baby, that's not a chatzitza, that's normal. The baby wants it like that. That's the normal way for the babies to develop. So that's what some of the major poskim say, some of the later poskim discuss. Let's say a person has something, a chatzitza on their body, and not only would they not remove it if they would go to a wedding, not only would that, let's say a painter is not going to bother to take off the paint, he always has paint on his hair. And a sefer is not going to bother to take off the ink on his fingers. His fingers are always full of ink. What is going to always be makbid to take off the ink? It's malatanoim. So the Mishnah says that for a painter, paint is not a chatzitza, and for a sefer, the ink is not a chatzitza. So the that's because they're not makbid to take it off. If they could easily take it off, matal, but they know it's a pain in the neck. So every single day they're going to take it off, so they don't bother. What happens if a person has something on his body that he's makbid bedavki, he does want it on his body, he does not want to remove it? That's a person has a broken arm and then he has a cast and it's going to make the arm better. So then some of the poskim say, if he has something that bedavki he does want to have, he does not want to remove it now. Not he doesn't bother to remove it. The sefer doesn't bother to remove the ink and the painter doesn't want to bother to remove the paint. No. It's not that the sefer wants the ink as an advertisement that everybody should know. I have inky fingers. If you need a pair of tefillin, come to me. It's not that he wants bedavka the ink. He doesn't bother to take it off. But if a person has something that he wants bedavka, it should be there. So that's what some of the major posts can say, that that's not a chatzitza. That's like the baby. The baby, davka, wants to be inside the mother's body. So even though kulo, is a bigger din of chatzitza, even though kula ino makbid is a chatzitza deraisa. But by the baby, it's not considered a davar chaitzitz at all. It's not subject to the rules and regulations of chatzitz. So that's what basically we assume by the fillings. First of all, we assume that it's a mere chain of makbid. Why would anybody want to remove the fillings? And we say more than that. The bedavka, they want the fillings to be in the mouth. In Lithuania, they used to treat them chachmas sodom like the Bible. That was it. Chayodim and chachmas sodom, that was the Bible. So there are those who were... There are those brisker women who never have their teeth filled. But the Chochmas Adam says that a filling is a chatzitza. All the contemporary poskim say that was in the days of the Chochmas Adam. Moshe and all the others, they say that doesn't apply bisman as that. Because today they make better fillings. But there are those women who are very medactic, ultra-orthodox, and they will not use fillings on their meat, on their teeth, because they're concerned about chatzitza. Okay. So don't marry such a girl.
Huh? According to
the mirror, each tooth should be an aver. Don't know. I don't know. A tooth is not considered in that sense. I don't think so. In the Mishneh Neholos, I don't think a tooth is considered an aver. I don't know.
I mean, that Meiri is not accepted, right? Like,
the Meiri...
We're not patient for every single Eber.
No. Mikra Adin, we... It says in Shulchan Aruch, they quote, the Torah quotes that the Rabbeinu Peretz insisted, Rabbeinu Peretz is one of the later Baalei HaTos, he insisted that his wife should remove all chatzitzes, and even when she had a scab, that she had a wound and it was bleeding, and then it developed a scab, so she wants the scab to remain there. So he insists that you should remove all the scabs, even though it's going to cause bleeding a little bit, unless it's necessary for the healing process, and then you don't remove it. But otherwise, the minhag is to remove even scabs, even though it's a little, it's going to cause a little bit of a problem. It's going to cause a major problem, so it's not so. So that's the Gemara's kasha. What do you mean? Ezra instituted a chumra midirabana of hilchas chatzitza, the dinim of chatzitza deraisa. Of course you have to have chafifa. Remove all the chatzitzas in the hair. So the Gemara says, no. Mid the araisa, the Gemara says, Amri, the answer is, the araisa, the din, the araisa is liyune. To put your fingers in your hair, dilma mikter, maybe the hairs are knotted. The Gemara says in Nido, that if there's a knot in the hair, the Rama quotes it from the Gemara, if there are knots in the hair, that constitutes a chatzitza. Usually the knots are not so tight. Usually even if you have a little knot, the water can go through. The Gemara says, but that's only if you have three hairs that are tied together. But if you have only one hair tied against itself, so that knot will be very tight. So that will be a chatzitza, not one spot. If the hair is very long, so the knot is only going to be a mir. It's going to be a mir chain of makkah. But still, the Gemara says, one should check. A man or a woman should always check dilma mikter. Maybe there's a knot in the hair. Let's say men go to tefillah also. A man goes to tefillah... He wants to be tohar. If a man wants to go tefillah takanas Ezra, that's coming up on Amveis, that a balkeri shouldn't daven. Balkeri should go to mikveh before he davens. So that the poskim say that you don't have all these dinim of chatzitz. Ilchas chatzitz don't apply. You don't have to worry about chatzitz. Takanas Ezra didn't require that the balkeri should really become tohar. So Haraya, the Gemara says that sometimes if he's a choyla, So Teisha Kabin is enough. If they put Teisha Kabin on his head, on his body, he's not going to become tar at all. So even if he's tovel in a mikveh, they never really required that the mikveh should be kosher a mikveh. Maim Shuvim is also good. Maim Shuvim is not good for a mikveh for any din deraisa, for tefillas kelim, but Maim Shuvim is good. Let's say over here, they have a mikveh in the Dom Rav Shtibel. So they use the regular tap water. The tap water, we assume, goes in pipes that make it all into Maim Shuvim. So they don't make any hashoka. For the purpose of Takanas Ezra, we'll see in the Gemara, for the purpose of Takanas Ezra, even Maim Shuvim is good. Even if one should assume that Kula Shov is Apsul Deraisa, Takanas Ezra never required that you should really remove the tumah.
What
a question, I think, in the Gemara. No, Gemara Brochus, I think, is not sure about Zechlin. I don't remember. That is a question. Zechlin is good, but I think Chatzitza says the Feirish that the laws of Chatzitza don't apply when a man is toivo for the purpose of takanas ezra. An erev yom kippur, that's a shaila. It says in Shulchan Aruch that many have a meaning that an erev yom kippur all year long they don't go to mikveh. Men don't go to mikveh all year long. An erev yom kippur they go. So the question is it that an aseres yemei tshuva we machmir more? We don't eat pas palter. We machmir on other issues, so we machmir to observe takanas ezra. That's how it says in the Shabbos of Tshuvas Min HaShemayim. Rabbi Natam had a Talmud whose name is also Yaakov, and he was also known as Rabbi Natam. Rabbi Natam's real name was Natam. And he was born by the Bris, they gave him a name, Rabbi Yaakov. Yaakov ben Meir. He was the Rashbam's younger brother. Rashbam was the oldest brother. There were three brothers. And after Rashi died, so the youngest brother was born, so they named him Shlomo after Rashi. So the Rabbi Natam, when he was born, his name was Yaakov. And then he had a Talmud, who was also not such a rare name, Yaakov. So he was also known as Rabbi Natan. And he used to dream, at night he used to dream and learning. So in his dreams, he used to have dreams that he was asking the Malachim Shailos, and they gave him answers once in a while. So he printed, they wrote a little book, and he made money on it. Okay. Printed a little book, he made some money. So he printed the Shailos Shailos Min HaShemayim. And he has, so one of the Shailos was that we have to, usually the Malachim didn't want to take a stand. Usually in all the Shalas they say the different, Lava Shemaim Hi. That's the whole introduction to the Sefer of Ruf and Margolius of what value is the whole book if Lava Shemaim Hi. In Shulchan Aruch they quote every so often, they quote a dream from the Maharam Rutenberg. They're different dreams. So the Maharam Rutenberg said, they quote the end of Choshe Mishpat, that the din is in Schiris Poelim, if someone mowed the lawn for me, or he removed the snow from my car, whatever, I asked him to do some halacha for me, and I have to pay him, so you can't give him a shavi kesef. I can't say, well, I just printed a new sefer, and it's also so much, I'll give you 20 copies of it, and that'll be payment. So the din is, I should sell the copies, and I should give him a check, or I should give him cash. When it comes to schiris poilim, we can't do that. You have to pay dafki cash. So the Maharam Rutenberg had a dream that the whole reason why you have to give him cash is that he should be able to buy food. What if he did work in a store where I sell food? In a grocery store. So I say, I owe you $100, take $100 worth of food and take it home. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the dream of the Maharam Rutenberg that that's okay. So the Shach over there raises the question, Gemara says, we ignore dreams. So how come we paskin like that dream? Or in Yeridea, that's the end of Choshe Mishpat, and Hilchas Chiras Poel. In Yeridea, they quote the dream of the Maharam Rutenberg, used to learn in the Beis Medrash that didn't have a mezuzah. The Gemara says that a Beis HaKnesset, Beis HaMedrash, don't need a mezuzah. Saftmam says, Beis HaKhob, Bisharech, only a Tash Mishal Hedyot, a Tash Mishal Kedusha doesn't need a mezuzah. So the Maharam Rutenberg had a recurrent dream that the Malach was complaining, how do you learn in a Beis Medrash that doesn't have a mezuzah? So after having this dream a few times, he decided, okay, so he put on a mezuzah on the Beis Medrash. Malach came back in the dream and he said, he gave me Ashikach. Now you're doing the right thing. So they quote this in Shulchan Aruch, that even though a Beis HaKnesses, we don't put a mezuzah, but if it's a Beis Medrash where you learn, they do put a mezuzah. The Pashtus and Halacha should be the same. So that's a problem. Why do we follow any of these dreams? So in these Shabbos and Shuvos Ben HaShamayim, sometimes you do. It's a problem. Sometimes Gemara says Niduhu b'chalom tzarach hator. If a person had a dream that they put him in Nidui, they put him in Cherem in heaven, so you should go get a bezin to be mata the Nidui. What does he have to worry about the Nidui? If they're b'chalom is lamalam lamud, so forget about the whole dream.
Huh?
The rabbi should tell him, don't worry about it. The rabbi should tell him, shouldn't be concerned. They tell a story like that about the thing about Rav Chaim Volozhiner. That a man was in a lumber business. They used to chop down the trees in one location, then they used to have them float down the river, and then they used to, his workers had them float down the river, and then they used to sell them in a different location. And sometimes it was dangerous, sometimes people got injured when these things were floating down the river. So he had a dream one day that his head is gonna get cracked open by the logs that are floating down the river. So he was all scared, maybe he shouldn't go. Rav Chaim Volozhiner told him, forget about it. The Gemara says, Dibrach Halom is Lamal of Lamarid. You can go. So he went with the logs, and that's exactly what happened, as predicted. He was in the water, and the log cracked open his head, and he got killed. So So the children came to Rav Chaim Volozhin and they wanted to kill Rav Chaim Volozhin. Why did you tell my father that I should ignore the dream? So he said, if you'll have the same dream now, I'll tell you the same din now also. The din is that you ignore all the dreams. The psak didn't change, even after the guy got killed by the dream. So it's a problem. Why not? When do you worry? The Gemara says, Nidu b'chalom. The Gemara in the first parak in the Dorm. Nidu b'chalom, you do have to worry about it. Iran there in the Dorm has 2 days. What if he had a dream that he took a nether? A person had a dream that he took a nether. Does he have to worry about that dream? Is that the same as Nidu b'chalom? Is it not the same as Nidu b'chalom? They tell a story that years ago, people used to, Rav Moshe Feinstein was very accessible, so people will always call him up and ask him shaylos on the phone. So some fellow called up, and he had a shayla that he had a dream. He took a nap in the afternoon. He had a dream that he davened mincha. Does he have to daven mincha? So Rav Moshe didn't understand English too well. So the guy kept on explaining. Rav Moshe didn't understand what he said. So he had his son go on the phone. He said, what's up there? What did he say? So he explained to his father, the guy had a dream that he davened mincha. Does he have to daven or not? So Rav Moshe said, ask him if you have a dream that he ate supper. Would he eat supper? Would he rely on the dream? Of course he has to daven mincha. What kind of a question is that? Yeah, usually we say Dibbuch Halom Islam Alav Alam Arin. Once in a while we do. So it's that's the whole Hagdamah, the whole Sefer that Rabbi Reuven Margolius put together. What value is this Shalos and Shuvos Min HaShamayim? But one of the Shuvos that he has is about this. That the Gemara has here, among the Takanas Ezra, the Gemara has on the top and third line on the base, Tikkun Tefila Lebalei Kerim. It was on Omer Aleph. The Gemara quotes it again on the base. Frag them, what do you mean? That's a Takana says that that's a pasuk in Chumash that a Baal Keri has to go to mikveh in order to be tohar. The Araisa udichsev ish ki seitz menashich v'zer v'achat says psar b'mayim. And for the Gemara, no. The Araisa l'truma l'kotchim. Yeah, if you want to eat truma l'kotchim or enter the Beis HaMikdash, you have to be tovel in the mikveh. Also v'tikein afilu l'divrei Torah. So Ezra made a Takana that for learning Torah and for davening, you have to be, Baal Keri has to be tovel in the mikveh. So Tosis quotes, the top Tosis quotes from the Gemara Brachas, Lo Kaimel and Hafi. Even though Ezra made such a takana, we no longer observe it. We follow Rabbi Yehuda ben Meseir, who is a Tana, many generations later, the Omer, he says, based on the Pasuk, Dibre Torah Eina Mekabelim Tumim. He quotes the Pasuk in Yishai HaLakot Dvorik Ha'esh Diyum Hashem. The words of the Torah are like Eish. Ma Eish Eina Mekabelim Tumim, Af Dibre Torah Not Mekabelim Tumim. So Dibre Torah Not Mekabelim Tumim. So you don't have to be Tovel in a mikveh in order to be able to learn. As it says, how do you know that we follow him? Kediyama bereishis hagez and chulin. It says in brachas hoidna b'zman hazedig mar. It says no gamel kitlosa savi. The minig of them is that we follow the three older tanoim savi, the grandfathers. We follow the three older tanoim, the tanoim from earlier periods and the tanoim from later periods. So the tanoim from the earlier periods are called savi. If you live in the later period, you're talking about tanoim from the earlier period. They're 100 years old or so. So the Gemara says, the meaning is we follow the three things. One of them is this, Rabbi Yehuda ben Meseira, that he says that this Takana says it doesn't apply anymore. So he says it based on Dibre Torah Eina Mekabelim Tumah. Halakot Dvori Kvayish, Ma Eish Eina Mekabel Tumah, Av Dibre Torah Not Mekabel Tumah. What about Litfilo? What about the Daven? He never quoted, Rabbi Yehuda ben Meseira never quoted a Pasuk to prove that Takana says we're going to get to davening is not correct. The Gemara never really records that he repealed the Takana says we're going to get to Davini. So that's Machlekes, the Rambam and the Raiva. The Rambam writes Beferish that once they repeal Takana says, so it's all off. There's no more Takana says. The Rambam says it's a Midas Chasidus to go to Mikveh before you daven and before you learn. And he says that in heaven they can testify. The Rambam writes, he was a closet chassid. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Tefillah that in heaven they can testify on me that I always went to Mikveh before I daven. Why did he go to mikveh if they repealed the Takana Sezra? So because Mishnah says, whenever there's a Takana and they repeal it, why did they repeal it? Because the Tosfos says, Ein Rabat Tzibi Chodem Lamed Boi. Loi Pashat Yisur Barov Hatzibon. Yeah, but they made a Takana, so that's the correct thing is to do like the Takana. So strictly speaking, can't tell people that Mechuyev to observe the Takana was repealed by Rabbi Ben Misera in a legitimate fashion. But since that's the proper thing to do, so the Rambam says, that's the Midas Chasidus that he followed. That's what the Kes Mishnah points out on the side of the Rambam in Hilchas Tefillah. So the Rambam writes that the Takana Sezra was repealed totally, both when he gets to learning and when he gets to Tefillah, but he says it's a Midas Chasidus to observe it. If one can live up to it, the proper thing is to observe. So that's why the Chasidim go to Mikveh before they daven every morning. And the Ravid is quoted by the Rosh in Brachas, on that Gemara and Daf Chav Beis. The Ravid is quoted by the Rosh. It says no. The Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseiro only repealed half of the takana halakol to Ari Koesh. The Beitar Eidim Mekabim Tumah. You don't have to go to mikveh in order to learn, but in order to daven, they never repealed takana Sezer. You have to medina. You have to go to mikveh before you want to daven. So that's what this Rabbi Natam asked in his dream. He asked the angels, do we pass him like the Rambam or do we pass him like the Ravid? I'm this machlekes. So he didn't want to take a stand. Like all the tshuvas that he gives, they're vague. Didn't want to take his name, but he says, Aseris may tshuva, we're machmer on other things, so we should be machmer on this. He says, the Bali Tvila, I think he says, the Bali Tvila and Aseris may tshuva, the Bali Tvila for Hashem Yom Kippur, should make sure they go to mikveh, because we're machmer on other things. So that's a shayla, the Tvila on Erev Yom Kippur. Is that because of what it says in Shalos Tshuvas Min HaShamayim? That on Erev Yom Kippur, we're machmer for the Ravid's opinion, we do the Mischaisidus of the Rambam. That we want to go to mikveh in order to be able to daven. Yeah, so that can be zeichlin. That can be maim shuvim. I think zeichlin is a diun in post. That could be maim shuvim. And chatzitzes are not a problem. You don't have to worry about any chatzitzes. Hilchos chatzitze don't apply for takana zezim. Or should I assume, no, that the tefillah on Erev Yom Kippur is a real din deraisa? That's a shaila. The Rosh in the end of Yuma quotes the Rav Sadi Gaon, that when one goes to the mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur, he says a bracha. But the Rosh disagrees. The Rosh says, what do you mean? Chayvarim entire atzma beregel applies to Yom Kippur and applies bizman hazeh. The Rosh tines it only applies, and the Shagasari says it should. Chayvarim entire atzma beregel only applies bizman amigdosh and the sholosh regalim. When there's a chiyav aliyah leregel, you have to visit the Azara. So of course the person has to be tov and has to have a higher shemesh, and then he can enter the Beis Hamikdash. The bizman hazeh, no one's entering the Beis Hamikdash. And it certainly doesn't apply to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. There's no chiyuv to be early regular Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So that's the taina that they have against this, against the Rav Sadi Gaon. So others defend the Rav Sadi Gaon, the Rav Hashulchan, and others defend the Rav Sadi Gaon. I think Rabbi Yeruchim Perlo, who wrote this whole fantastic three volumes of Sefer HaMitzvos, Rav Sadi Gaon, he took the poem of Rav Sadi Gaon where he lists off briefly all of the Taryag Mitzvos, and it's unclear what every line means in the poem, and where did he get the Taryag? How does everything add up to 613? So that's what Rabbi Yeruchim Perlo wrote this whole. He lived in recent years. He died in Eretz Yisrael, I think. He moved to Eretz Yisrael, B'Sof Yom. So he wrote this whole fantastic sefer, three volumes, fat volumes, where he explains what the listing of the mitzvahs are. So he says the same as Aruch HaShulchan. He thinks also that. That the pasuk says lifnei Hashem titaru, so the Rabbi Nesadi Gaon understands that a person should be tovel in the mikveh before he enters Yom Kippur. Lifnei Hashem, before you enter the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Kippur titaru, one should be tovel in the mikveh. The Ramban understands lifnei Hashem titaru, one should recite vidui before he enters Yom Kippur. He should purify himself in a spiritual sense, in the sense of tshuva, lifnei Hashem titaru. And the Gemara says we're afraid if he'll tell people they should say vidui right before they come to shul, people may be busy with the suda masekes until they're going to bench, until they're going to run to shul, until they're going to put on the talis. There's going to be after shkia already. They're going to daven mincha before the suda masekes because you're not supposed to eat before you daven mincha. There's going to be a big meal, so suda gedolah, because that suda masekes is going to last you for the whole 24 hours of Yom Kippur. So you're not allowed to have a suda gedolah before you daven mincha if it's late in the afternoon. So everybody davens mincha early. Then you're going to finish the mafsek. If the people are just going to make it by the skin of their teeth, going to run into shul till they put on the talis bin bo yom. So they're going to miss the shkia, so they won't be able to say the vidya. So that's a meritakana, that you say the vidya before the suda mafsek. But really the correct thing is, the shalom says, based on Morgan Aramco, it's the shalom, based on this Rambam. The correct thing is when you come back to shul, after the suda mafsek, you should repeat the vidya. Because that's the Igra Adim of Nei Hashem Tetoru. Before you enter, immediately before you enter Kedushas Hayom of Yom Kippur, a person should purify himself in the sense of reciting vidui. So just like the Ramban understands, Lefnei Hashem means before Yom Kippur enters Titoru, you should purify yourself by reciting vidui. So the Rav Sadi Gaon understands, Lefnei Hashem Titoru, before you enter Yom Kippur, soon before you enter Yom Kippur, a person should go to the mikveh. Yeah, if you say it like that, if that's what the tefillah is all about, on every Yom Kippur, then you can't have any chatzitzes. Then it's a real din deraisa. You can't have chatzitzes. And maim shuvim is no good. It's usually assumed, the way it says in the Shalos Tshuvas Min HaShamayim, that on a seres made tshuva, people are more machmir, even though all year long people are not follow the Rambam. People follow the Rambam. that Takana Sezer was repealed even the Gabi Davening. Now, there is made sure that people are more machma for Rosh Hashanah, for Yom Kippur, maybe only Yom Kippur, Yom Meroy. Yeah. So Nachmal, so the Gemara says, see, by the Chatzitza. By the Chatzitza, what he needed Takana Sezer for, the Gemara says, Minatar, it's good enough, Iyune. Iyune, what are you looking for? What are you ma'ayin for? Person should, the woman should be ma'ayin, Dilma Mikta, maybe their hairs are tied together. And tied together tightly in such a fashion that the knot will not allow water to go through. That'll constitute a hatzitza. If she's makpid, the Gemara says sometimes a woman will not be makpid. What does she care? Let her hair be all tied up in knots. It doesn't bother her. It depends where, which, the hair on which part of the body. The hair on different parts of the body. Married, single. The Gemara says Mishnah. Mishnah has like that. It depends. But sometimes the knot in the hair will be a miwata makpid. That they'll be, they'll want to remove the knots. Inami mishum mos midi, inami mos midi. Maybe there's going to be some paint or some dirt on the hair. Mishum chatzitz seminator, you have to have a univos. So you came as we made a takana, you need chafife. What be masrek? You have to have chafife. That a uni is not sufficient. Yeah. What if a woman forgot? What if a woman has to go to mikvah on Del Shabbos? So you're not supposed to comb your hair on Shabbos. That's a Mishnah Nazir. Tesis quotes the Mishnah. Nazir chofe from the fastest avalos sorek. The Nazir is not allowed to shave off his hair. So the Mishnah says he's allowed to be chofe from the fastest. He can put his fingers through his hair in order to straighten everything out. Avalos sorek is not allowed to comb with a comb, because combing with a comb is a psikresha that is going to rip out the hair. That's what the Gemara explains there in Nazir. It's a psikresha. So Rabbi Yosef Karo had a big machlekes with one of his contemporaries. What about combing your hair on Shabbos? He said, if it's a psikresha for the Nazir, it's a psikresha for us on Shabbos. We're not Nazirim, we're allowed to comb our hair all year long. But on Shabbos, you're not allowed to comb your hair because it's a psikresha that your hair will get ripped out. Those who disagreed held that by Nazir it's a special din. Combing, one stroke of combing your hair is not really a psikresha that is going to rip out any hair. It's the whole process of when you comb your hair with a comb, so you comb five times, minimum, seven times, whatever. Next time, I don't have enough hair to comb. But those who have hair to comb, so they should. You comb your hair a few times with the comb. So in the whole process, sahakol, the Gemara assumes that's a psikresha that one hair will get ripped out. But in each stroke per se, there is no psikresha. So that's why others disagreed with Rabbi Yosef Karo. And they felt that din of psikresha, that each pu'ula, each stroke of combing the hair itself, is not a psikresha. Just the whole tziruf of all the whole process together, there's a vados, that one hair will get ripped out. That's only a din by nazir, a special din called shiyek, arukaris arosho, special din that by nazir, that's considered a psikresha. But in Hilchot Shabbos, that will not be considered a psikresha. So that opinion lost out, because Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote to Shulchan Aruch, and he put his opinion into the Shulchan Aruch, so his became accepted. The other one didn't know to write, the other one wasn't smart enough to write a Shulchan Aruch. So the other one lost out, but for a while it was a big machlekes.
And what about combing the peyes?
Combing peyes, you mean all year long. Combing peyes should be an issa because it's a psikresha that a little hair will repent, right? That's where Rabbi Kivega quotes that kasha. Rabbi Kivega on Shavuos and the Gilyan Ashas on Dalet quotes that kasha. How is one allowed to comb his peyes? If you're machma like Tesis. The Rambam's opinion is that removing the peyes is only forbidden if you use a tar, if you use a razor. The same as pas hazakan is only also betar. So the Rambam paskins like the Tosefta Makis that pas harosh is also only also betar. But Tosefta says, based on the Gemara Nozer, that it's not so. The Gemara Nozer contradicts the Tosefta. Tosefta says, we don't follow the Tosefta. We follow the Gemara, that it's also to remove the pas harosh, even to rip it out. So that's a shayla. How do you comb your peyes? Right. That's Rabbi Kivega's kasha. The Rambam also writes that you're allowed to shave off part of your peyes as long as you leave a certain minimum amount of hair. There are two girsas in the Rambam. How much you have to leave? So one girsa has to. One girsa says you have to leave 40 hairs. One girsa says you have to leave 4 hairs. You can remove as much, you can use a razor, remove as much of the peyes as you want, as long as you leave 4 hairs. It's nachmam, it's nothing, it's a joke. The other gear says 40 is also, there are many more than 40 hairs there. But the tour writes on that Ram, he doesn't know where he got that from, and he doesn't follow that. So if that's Rabbi Kivega's kasha. If we are machma both, antar, We're machmir that even if you leave 40, even if you leave 100 hairs on the payas, you're still not allowed to shave off the rest of them. So let it be a psik reshe, how are you allowed to comb your payas? That's the kasha. That's Rabbi Kavega's kasha. So he sent his kasha to the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer says it's mutter. How does he know? Because his Rebbe must not use the comb's payas. So he says it's mutter because my Rebbe did. Then he has to explain why is it mutter. Okay, he has all children, but the first line he knows that it's mutter because his Rebbe Amnas Nadli used to comb his pants.
That's just to take out one hair.
Even to take out one hair from the payas should be awesome. In combing is a psikreshe, the composite of all the combings together should constitute a psikreshe. So according to the Bar Plukta of Rabbi Yosef Karo, that's only avalos sorry. That kind of a psikreshe, the composite of all the pulas together, is only a psikreshe by nozik because there's a mitzvah sesa of Kodesh Yir. Gadol Parasar Rosh, it doesn't apply in other places, so then there's no problem on Shabbos, there's no problem by the Peis either. But if you hold like Rabbi Yosef Karo, that you extend it to Shabbos as well, so you should extend it to Peis as well. So you can be mata based on a svek tzveke, maybe it's shaloi betar, so that's mutter. Maybe you have 40 hairs, that's mutter. But that's not a secret. That's not a sex fake because we don't pass like either of those positions of the Rambam. We have accepted Taisa's opinion that even shaloi b'tar it's also to remove the pasar rosh, and even if you leave 40 sirus, we have accepted the Tur's opinion against the Rambam. So that's why it's a kasha, yeah. And the Gilyan on Shas on Shavuos on Dav Dalit, the Kaveger presents that kasha, and they refer you to the Chuvas Chasam Sofer. He writes, he sent his kasha to his son-in-law, that's on Sunday. The son-in-law was 1 year younger than the father-in-law. They lived the same number of years. Samsung was born a year after his father-in-law. And he died a year after his father-in-law. It was Samsung's second wife. It was the daughter of Rebbe Kavega. First wife died. And then the daughter of Rebbe Kavega died, so he married a third wife. Yeah, so the Gemara says that's why it's a takana rabban. It's the shaila. We don't allow sirika b'seir on Shabbos. So if a woman has to go to mikvah leil Shabbos or leil yantiv, so she has to do the chafifa. She has to do with the masreik on erev Shabbos, on erev yantiv. Yeah, what if a woman forgot? What if a woman forgot to do the chafifa on erev Shabbos? So very often the women comb the hair in the morning. Every morning when the woman wakes up, she combs the hair. Some women do, some women don't. So that's a shot. Let's say a woman combed the hair in the morning, and she didn't. She wasn't painting anything today. She wasn't writing a Sefer Torah today. She was doing normal activities. So Mehechate said that there should be any. And then on Leil Shabbos, when she's about to go to mikveh, she'll do iyune. She'll put her fingers through her hair, and she'll see that there's no problem. So that's a shaila. Can you rely on that? If a woman forgot, can you rely on that? Tesis quotes a machlokes, Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam. What's the takana says that you need chafifa? So Rashi sheet is you need chafifa on the whole body. You have to wash off the whole body. Tesis says no, chafifa is only berosh. You're only chafifa on the rest of the body, only on the head. Then they quote the Gemara says. Quote the Gemara Perek Basa Denida Daf Samafav and Beyol Milan Maram Tov Beisa. A husband should tell his wife. The Tov Beisa means his wife. Tell his wife. She Teisha Medicha Beis Kamateha B'Mayim. That even though something is a Beis Hastarim, let's say certain parts of the body lean over other parts of the body. A woman's breast, let's say, so it leans over the chest. So that's a Beis Hastarim. So she doesn't have to lean over in such a way that the water touches every part of the surface of the body. Whatever is normally covered over is a Beis Hastarim. You don't have to open up, let's say a woman has to open up her eyes and a person has to open up his eyes when he's talking about the mikveh. You don't need Beis Hastarim. You don't have to open up your mouth. That's a Beis Hastarim. You don't have to open it up. But still the din is you have to be careful. There shouldn't be any chatzitze there. But that's what the Gemara says. The man should train his wife. She should be medicha Beis Kimoteho B'mayim. She should wash out that part to make sure that there are no chatzitze. So the Gemara doesn't say over there, chafifa. The Gemara's lashon is medicha. Because over there, since it's covered over, so there's a likelihood, a good chance that there's going to be a davar hachoitzes. I've got the Ikon of Mehmet, but it's my turn to talk about the Revus. You can say the Gemara meant it as a Chiddush. I've got the Bias Mayim Lord Boy, Royal Bias Mayim Boy. You don't need Bias Mayim. You don't need actual Bias Mayim, because it's really a Bias Astorim, but still you need Chatzitzes have to be removed. That's what the Gemara says. Chatzitzes inside the mouth are not acceptable, even though you don't need Bias Mayim, you don't need actual Tfilah, but you need Royal Bias Mayim. That's a Shaila. Is that a Din D'Arayis or a Din D'Rabban? Shulchan Aruch, it's assumed that that's a Din D'Arayis. The Ritva says that the whole din is only with the Rabbanim. That Chatzitza and Beis Astorim passels the Tefillah. So the Ritva shita that it's only with the Rabbanim. That's what the later Achrayim maps are always quoting this Ritva. And the Shulchan Aruch, though, they assume that this din, Roy Lubi Asmaim Chatzitza and the Beis Astorim passels, they assume that it's a din d'Arayis, it's not a din d'Rabbanim. The Taisa says, well, the Gemara didn't say Afilu Beis Kmateho. You see from the Gemara, the Rabbein and Tam says, you see from that Gemara, need a Dav Samachvav, that you only have to have Chafifa on the Seir, and Hadoche it's called, Medicha, based Kmatel, because there the dirt may collect, because it's usually one part of the body leaning over another part of the body, so that's why you have to be Mediach over there. But the rest of the body, you don't have to have Chafifa. And you don't need hadoch. And Rashi disagrees. Rashi holds mikra din. The Takana says it was, you have to wash the whole body. So now Tosfos has a kashya. Vahi didudi chasarto. The Gemara needed af samaches. A woman had some kind of a fight with her husband, and she's not going to the mikveh. Sorry, do me something. She's not going to go to the mikveh. Whatever he's going to beg and plead that she should go to the mikveh, she doesn't want to go to the mikveh. So they went to the rabbi with the fight. It's already 12 o'clock now. And the rabbi calms the woman down, and he makes shalom b'ayishem. And then he convinces her she should go to the mikveh and live happily ever after with her husband. So the woman says, but I have no hot water. I didn't do any chafifa. So he says, I have a big hot water boiler. Dudi chasarto. You can take all of my dud, a dud shemesh, whatever. I have a big container that's full of hot water. I give you all the hot water that you need. Take a hot bath, wash off the body, and then go to the mikveh. So the Rabbi Natam is bothered with the kasha. What does she need? Hot water. So much, what does she need a whole bath for? He just said, all you need is to comb out your hair, 1, 2, 3, and to wash out the base, kamateha, b'mayim. Well, she need a whole tank full of water. So that's his kasha. The rabbi told the woman after he made shalom bayis, he said, calm down, lady, and everything. He makes peace between the husband and wife. Then he convinces her she should go to the mikveh at 12 o'clock at night. So he says, the last teretz, she keeps on giving another teretz and another teretz. Why she doesn't want to go to mikveh? So the last teretz says she has no hot water. So he says, I give you my whole boiler full of hot water. There is no such din. So what does she need? A whole hot bath. And for Taisus, the meaning was, meaning was that the woman washes the whole body with warm water before you go to the mikveh. Yeah. But that's a meaning. Mikveh, then you don't need it. So that's a shalom. Let's say it's Leil Shabbos or Leil Yontif. And you can't comb the hair. So you should get an achris, get a non-Jewish woman to comb her hair. Yeah. Someone sent me from Eretz Yisrael. Someone sent me this shayla before the summer. What's the din if it's Leil Shabbos and the woman didn't do chafifa? So I didn't bother to look up the shayla. Then one Friday night, we're in the middle of eating in the country, we're on vacation, a woman knocks on the door. She has that shayla. She didn't do chafifa. So I said, there was somebody, we have a lot of Lubavitcher families where we go for the summer. And they all have non-Jewish maids to take care of the children. All have non-Jewish women. So I said, get one of the women across the street, this one, the other one. Get one of the non-Jewish women to call me here, no problem. So she knocked on 5 doors. All the maids are off for Shabbos. The maids are Shabbos. So there's no Goyish maid to comb the woman's hair.
It's not the same Shiloh as Rebbe we got at the Tefillah for 9. They're being Sayeh with the...
Yeah, by the Shulchan Aruch, we say that it's muta. The Ramah says it's muta. The Taz picks on the Ramah. But the Shach defends the Ramah. The Minig is like the Ramah, that if a woman didn't cut her nails, he can get a non-Jewish woman to cut the nails for her. The Taz thinks that it should be an Issa, because she stretches out of him. But we don't follow that Taz. We follow the Shach, who does defend that Ramah. Yes, if he can get a Nachris to cut her nails, and get a Nachris. Her nails were short, this woman. If you get a nachris to comb the hair, it's avada good. Can't get a nachris, and then you have to, if you do a yune, and she did comb her hair earlier in the day, she did comb her hair, and there was no nothing special happened in the middle of the day. Her baby didn't vomit on top of her head. And she didn't pour any, her husband didn't pour any cholent on her head. So it was a normal day. So she did, basically she did chafif in the morning, not l'shem chafifa. Okay. So there's room to be mekel. So this was the takana says, that a woman should have chafifa before she goes to the mikvah. It's based on a din d'oraisa. The din d'oraisa is that the laws of chatzitza apply to seir as well. Rabbeinu Peretz quotes over here that Machleg is Rashi in the Rabbeinu Tam. Here the Tosfos doesn't quote the whole thing. Rashi in other places writes that you need chafif al kol aguf. That this dudi chasarto, the rabbi is volunteering to give a whole tank full of hot water to the woman to take a whole warm bath. So that's not just a minig. Afal pishenu chaver. The Rabbeinu Tam says afal pishenu chaver. Rashi sheet is based on that Gemara that you need chafif al kol aguf. Machleg is Rashi in the Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, then he made takonis that that the fuller brush men should sell perfume for the women in all the villages. She yirochem machazrim machzirim bayoris mishum tachshit nashim teish leizgan al baleim. The women have to dress up with lipstick and rouge and all the makeup and sheitel and everything. Not just when they're single to land a husband. They have to, when they're married, they have to preserve the husband. Otherwise, he'll fall in love with the secretary. So the women have to be careful to follow takonis ezra. The Deacon Tfilu Lebalikarian, the Gemara said, what do you mean? That's a din d'oraisa. So the Gemara says, no. He made takana for divrei Torah. Yeah. Here Tosis raises the question, how can it be that Ezra made a takana and Rabbi Yudah ben Maseir is mevatla takana? Don't we have a rule, ein bezn yochel levatla divrei bezn achaverim, king god lehemenu, v'chochma v'minyan. That's Tosis kash. So the Meiri in Brochus on Daf Chafal, here Tosis quotes the Gemara in Brochus Daf Chafal. V'hod adarish b'mishem eso. Brachas daf chafal merchziv vaydaita levanecha levnei benecha yomish amarta levnei Hashem lakech v'chor malahal balakari nasun afkan. The Gemara says that takanas Ezra is based on a drasha of a pasuk. Vaydaita levanecha v'levnei benecha, you should teach Torah to your descendants. Yomish amarta means kayom, just like on the occasion of Maimon Hasina. The Torah was given be'emu b'yira b'resos v'ziya, the people who went to mikveh in advance. The women had to go to mikveh, they shouldn't be pulled out to shechazer. The men had to go to mikveh, they shouldn't have a tumas balkeri. Standing at Hasinai was like being in Machna Leviya. Had a status like Machna Leviya, that a balkeri and a pulled out to shechazer are not allowed to be present. So Mala Halon, just like on the occasion of Maimon Hasinai, was given, Torah was given be'em of the year of Bereses Uveziyah, with trembling so to the Duras. When the Torah is transmitted to the next generation, the Gemara reads, "Vahidaita levanecha v'levnei vanecha." So the Ramban says, "Pashib shat in the pasuk, vahidaita levanecha v'levnecha." Yom Hashem Marta v'nei Hashem Akam b'chor. You should tell your children about Maimon Hasina. The Ramban says that's one of the Taryag mitzvahs. That's one of the Sheish Zechiris. Once a year, every year, like just like you have to learn once a year, every year, Parshas Zachar. You have to learn once a year, every year, Parshas Maimon Hasina. Well, you'd say either on Parshas Yisro. Or on Shavuos we learn. By daitam, you should notify Yom Hashem Amarta Lefnei Hashem Lakech B'chor. You should tell over your children and all the future generations about the story of Maimon Hasina. Well, the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. In addition, what the Ramban claims is Pshuto, there's an additional level of interpretation. Ha'inu, by daitam levanecha v'levnei vanecha, you should notify your children of the halachas, kayom Hashem Amarta. Just like, how does the pasuk read? By daitam. Over Hodaito. I thought it said Vahidaitom. No? Vahidaitom. You should notify your children about the halachas. Vahidaito Yom Asher Marta. What is it? Chofal of Hamabes. Vahidaitom. Live on that. Dvarim chapter Dalu. Are they correct? Vahidaitom live on that. So the Gemara understands an additional level of interpretation. Ramban says you should notify your children about Maimon Hasina. You should tell over the story of Maimon Hasina. So it's a kriya once a year, every year, the kriya about Maimon Hasina. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. You should transmit the halachas, transmit all the mitzvahs, all the halachas to your children. Just like on the occasion of Maimon Hasina, the Torah was given by Ema, Beira, Beresus, of Azia. So too, when one is transmitting Torah to the next generation, should also be be'em of be'ira b'resus of Azir. The Gemara has two opinions whether the Rebbe is allowed to crack a joke. Gemara has akasha. It has to be beema beer bereses of zia. So some of the Amoraim used to start with the milsa de b'dichusa. So how do they say milsa de b'dichusa? So the Gemara has two terutzim in the end of Ksubas. One terutz the Gemara gives is they started off the shiur with the joke. Once they cracked the joke and everybody had a good laugh, then there were no jokes in the middle of the shiur. The other terutz the Gemara gives is the Rebbe is allowed to say jokes, but the Talmidim are not allowed to laugh. 2 days in the Gemara. The Gemara there quotes a different pasuk in the end of Ksubas. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Shir Hashir. How does it say? Sibsoso. Gemara says, "Kol tamachacham, kol tamen al Yeshu lefnei Rabbo." Then Sibsoso notvus ma'roiver tichvena. If the lips of the Talmud are not quivering from pachad when the Rebbe is delivering the Shir, so that Talmud's lips should be burnt tichvena. Based on the pasuk in Shir Hashir. About Sibsosim Notvus Ma'arov. I forgot already. Forgot the pasuk. So that's where the Gemara has the 2 days. One day is the Rebbe's not allowed to crack any jokes in the middle of the Shia, only before the Shia begins. The other opinion, no, he can crack jokes, but they're not allowed to laugh. I remember Rav Chaim Shmulevitz gave the Shia. I once heard a Shia from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in the Miri Shiva. So he said a joke in the middle of the Shia. He was kidding around about something. But they were so beim of Bir Vesa, no one laughed. Nobody laughed at him. Maybe they didn't realize he was cracking a joke. But I think they did. I think they did. He was kidding around in the middle of the shiur and they didn't laugh. So the Gemara learns out from a pasuk that a balkari, malahalam balkari asturim. So Gemara learns it out from a pasuk. So Tosh says, it's not a din deraisa, asmachtehi, lo ezra tikin. It's only takon de rabbanon. It's not a din deraisa. Are there's a Gemara in Brachas daf yudches that says, ben yohu ben yohoyoda, a biblical figure. From Sefer Shmuel, Benayo ben Yoyada Tova Giziza de Bardo. He cracked the ice. He cracked the ice, he made a hole, and he was Tovel in the mikvah in order to learn. The Nochas Vitoval. So, what was he Tovel in the mikvah for in order to learn Torah? If the whole thing was only instituted by Ezra, Ezra was the beginning of the Bais Sheni. This guy was before Bais Rishon. Benayo ben Yoyada was in the days of David HaMelech. What's going on? Zoktaz Loda Divi Torah. No. I think Rashi over there probably says it was to learn Torah. Brachas Yudches Amibes. Ben Ayohu Ben Yohoyoga. Doesn't Gemara say it was to learn Torah? Yudches Amibes. Ben Ishkan. Who yora dehika sari b'toich habor b'yom asholot? What does it mean? Tovik zizi zibar nachas v'toval, v'nochas v'toval. He was toivol in the mikveh for what purpose? Tovol leker kidei lasik bater. Rashi says kidei lasik bater. So Rabbi Kivega tells you to look in this tesis. I'm bavakama tesis da pei base on the base. But Rashi learns on that Gemara he was toivol on to learn Torah. Then Gemara has another pshat. What does it mean? Who huki sari achai? That he went through the whole Teres Kohanim on one day in the middle of the winter. The Gemara has two pshat and what the pasuk means. So based on the second pshat, that it means that he succeeded, he conquered the whole Teres Kohanim. That's a pasuk in Shmuel Beis chapter Chof Gimel describing Ben Yoyada Ben Yoyad Ben Ishchai. Rav Pa'olim Mekabetzel Huhiko Shini Ariyom Boyov Hu Yored Behikas Ari Betoch Abor B'Yoyim Asholik. So Gemara says, what do you mean? He killed a lion in a bor on a day that was snow. What's going on? So the Gemara says he showed Gevurah. Doesn't mean that he killed a lion. It means he showed Gevurah. What was the Gevurah? So the first pshat is that he was Tevel and he cracked the ice in order to be Tevel in the mikveh for some purpose or another. Rashi says in order to learn Torah. The second shot, Ika Diamri, is Ika Sari, Biyam Asholik, Bebor, means he sat and he learned the whole, he demonstrated such Gevura, he finished the whole Teres Kohanim in one day, and it was freezing too. And it was freezing in the middle of the winter, there was no steam, and his teeth were chattering, and nonetheless, he take off, he go to bed under the blankets. No, he was sitting and learning all day, sitting and learning the whole day. So based on the second shot, that it means he was sitting and learning the whole day, so that's probably what motivated Rashi to say. The first shot also has to do with learning. It was Tevel in the mikveh in order to learn Torah. So Tosha said, how can it be? It's only a Takana de Rabbanon that was instituted by Ezra. It didn't exist before. What the Amar Mishameis said, Gabi Benayor, Benayor, the Tavik is easy to buy the Menachos with Tavah. Not like Rashi is loaded, David Torah. Akati Ezra Lohavi, there was centuries, there was generations before, a few hundred years before Ezra was born. It's some kind of a chumrah. If he's going to eat the truma, he wasn't a kohen. If he's going to eat ma'aser sheni, he's going to eat karbanos. So why do you have to go in the winter? You should bring the ma'aser sheni in the summer. So he says, no, he who is makbid always to eat the chulam et tahar, some kind of a chumrah. So Tesis realizes that there's a possibility to say that this is a din d'oraisa. That's what the Meiri writes in Brachas on Daf Kof Aleph. This is a real din d'oraisa. Ezra's takonis, the 10 takonis of Ezra, 9 are takonis of Rabbanan, and one of them is a din d'oraisa. This one that a Balkari is not allowed to learn, Ezra held that that's a din d'oraisa. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira has a right to disagree. When do you say, Ein bezn yochel avatel de bezn achavim, can govern men and mechachim of dominion? If the earlier bezn made a takonis of Rabbanan, later bezn wants to repeal a takonis of Rabbanan. So in order to repeal it, those are the rules and regulations. You have to have govern mechachim of dominion. But if you're arguing on a din d'oraisa, how to read the psukim, how to darshan the psukim, so that's the halach. Ein lach ala shefet shabi amecha yiftach b'der, kishmul b'der. That's how the Rambam starts off in the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim. Says the bezdin in every generation has a right to darshan the psukim the way they see fit, and you can't ask him a kasha. But the Chofetz Chaim says not so, and Rav Chaim Moses says not so, and the Vilna Gaon says not so. He has a right and the obligation to express his honest-to-goodness opinion, even if it's in disagreement with all of those who preceded him. That's the halacha. Moshe Feinstein very often disagrees with the Rebbe Yehuda and disagrees with the Chassam Sofer. He disagrees, says, I don't think I'm greater than them. He was really humble. He says he thinks they're much greater than him. But he says the Torah was given to each Talmid Chacham in every generation. They have to figure out what he thinks the din is. So the Meiri claims that that's the teretz on this Tosfos Kasha. Who gave Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira the authority to repeal the Takanas Ezra? Zoktetz Adin Daraisa, and that's why Benayol ben Yoyada knew it, and he was table in order to learn Torah. And the Din Daraisa was observed for many centuries, from the days before Benayol ben Yoyada, through Ezra, through later, till after the Baisheni was all over, came Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. And he disagreed with this practice that was practiced for 1,000 years. But Ben Yehuda was before the Bais Rishon. Bais Rishon was 410 years. Bais Sheni was way more than that. So it was like 1,000 years it was observed. Comes Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, hangs up a shingle. Under new management, the Pesach Halacha has changed. That's all. Like the Mishnah Berurah, he changes the Pesach on every page of the Shulchan Aruch. So came Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, and the Miri says he has a right to do that. He's entitled to his opinion. And we follow him. He said he disagrees with the practice that was over 1,000 years old. How can you say that it's called Esa Takonis? How can you call it a Takon if it's a Din D'oraisa? So the Miri shows from the Gemara. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made 9 Takonis, and they list off the 9. Then the Gemara says in Menachos that one of them, that Chodosh is Asa all day long, Yom Tenuf HaSaim, Yom Hanif Kula Asa, the Gemara says that's a Din D'oraisa. That's not a din d'rabbanan. So Gemara says, why is it called a takana? Gemara says, Dorash v'hiskin. He popularized the din. He publicized the din d'oraisa. The takana was that he let everybody know that he owns that. That's the din d'oraisa. Not when you use the word takana, it doesn't necessarily. Usually, 8 out of 9 times it means it's a din d'rabbanan. 9 takanas are Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. 8 out of 9 are takanas d'rabbanan. And 1 out of the 9 is Darash V'Hiskin. So the Miri claims the same over here. From the 10 Takanas of Yeshua, 9 out of 10 are Takanas D'Rabbanan, and one of them is a Din D'Oraisa. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira had the ability to disagree. So Tosfos is rejecting that. The last 10 lines in Tosfos say, "V'hod the Darish Digmar Machta Drasha." So it sounds like it's a Din D'Oraisa. So that'll answer the Kasha. So they say, wrong. That's only Asmachtahi. Ezra was Mesakana Takanas D'Rabbanan, not a Din D'Oraisa. I, before Ezra was born, a few hundred years before I was born, Benayor ben Yayada also observed it. Does not show that the Miri is right, that it was no. Tosfos says that was for Chulam Tahara, different Chumri he had. Was not like Rashi. Rashi says that Benayor ben Yayada went to Mikveh in order to learn. So that's why Tosfos has a problem. How can Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira repeal a Takanas Ezra? What do he think that is greater B'chachma B'minyan than Ezra Beis Dinon? So Tosfos says a few suggestions. Maybe he denies the whole historical validity of the Braisa. The Gemara says that not all the Tanoim agreed to this. No. That was the 10 takanas of Yeshua. That was not all agreed. So he doesn't agree. Rabbi Yehoshua thinks there never was such a takana, says Inami. Maybe the story was, they're guessing, Tez does not. Inami hisna, maybe Yeshua made it tonight. He stipulated. Whoever, he leaves it up to later generations. If anybody wants to come later on to repeal it, gives them to hate. He gives them all permission to repeal it. Gemara says like that, they quote. When an earlier Bez makes a takana, and they incorporate in the takana that if a later Bez wants to repeal it, gives them hate, so then you don't require Godel B'chaf Mimimim.
According to the Miuri, so why are we emphasizing this person in your Yadra? Everybody in the world has to do it. What was this godless?
I don't know. Maybe it wasn't so widespread. Maybe it was a machlokes. Like Rabbi Ben Meser in later generations, his opinion was accepted. So maybe the others, there was all along an ongoing machlokes. Ben Yehuda maybe was the minority opinion. And then in the days of Ezra became the majority opinion. And then the Bezun Shalach Re'emam, the days of Rabbi Ben Meser, it was in Gansan Avod. The Mishnahis have a lot of times. Mishnah Rishona has a din, and then it says Bezin Shalach Re'emamra means in the later generations the consensus changed. The majority of the Rabbanim changed their position and they voted otherwise. They changed the Psak. So that's what it sounds like over here, that this was a shifting back and forth. Ben Yoda was Machmir to be Choshish for this Shita, and the others sounds like they didn't hold from it. Then in the days of Ezra, that became the accepted opinion. Then in the days of Rabbi Ben Meser, it was rejected and announced. Yeah, so Tosha says maybe that was what he incorporated. Misha Rotsa Levati Levat. That's how they say, we have a Chemder Abbein Gershom, a person is not allowed to be Noise Isha Lishta, not allowed to marry a second wife. Unless it's a rare situation. Let's say the man is married and his wife is not healthy. She's institutionalized for life. And that's not shy. He's not going to be able to live with his wife, so he wants to have a wife. So we make a heter meir rabbanim. We get 100 rabbanim. What does it help you get 100 rabbanim? So apparently that was incorporated in the takanas and the cherem of the Rabbeinu Gershom. He said if a later bezin wants to repeal it in a specific case, in a specific instance, so doesn't the hey. Kol mishirotze levatel yavav yivav. You don't have to be a bezin greater b'chokhma v'minyan than the Rabbeinu Gershom. Incorporated in his takana that mishirotze levatel yavav yivav. Is the Chemed Rabbeinu Gershom is really only up until the Sefer Elif, up until the year 5000. Now it's already 5000. What is it? What are we up to? 5,600.
57.
67. It's the Chemed Rabbeinu Gershom was over 767 years ago. It was over. Some made a mistake. They thought, I remember when I was a little boy, so it was 1,000 years we're up since the Chemed Rabbeinu Gershom was instituted. So in the newspapers like now they have the Jewish Week, such a newspaper, not the Jewish Press. They make other kinds of mistakes. Years ago, when I was growing up, they had newspapers like the Jewish Week, so they made such a mistake. And hey, 1,000 years are up. So the Chemed Rabbeinu Gershom is up. So all the Rabbanim were living at that time. The Mechaber quotes, the Chemed Rabbeinu Gershom was up in the year 5,000. So for Elif, does mean from 1,000 years. Rabbeinu Gershom didn't think he had Ruach HaKodesh to look ahead for 1,000 years, what's going to be? Till the Sefer Elif for 100, 200 years. So he made a cherem for 150 years or so, whatever it was. And the Sefer Elif was up the end of that, in the year 5,000. When was the year 5,000? 760 years ago, a long time ago. 1240, when was it up? 5,000 corresponds, I think, to the year 1240. That was a long time ago. Now it's already 2,000 over, yeah. A long time ago. So Tosis doesn't know how to deal with this. How can it be that Rabbi Yehuda ben Meser appeals at Takana Sezra?
In all of the 10 cases, the only place that there's been tikkun is on this one.
This is the only one?
Yeah. This has been tikkun.
Tikkun Tfilah Levalakari. This is the last one. This is the last one. So maybe that's what it means. The tikkun, who is mefarsim the din, is mefarsim the din. It's all the other the rabbanim. So the last one is the din deraisa. Yeah. So Taisa doesn't go for that. Taisa holds no. It's a takana the rabbanim. They say either he denies the historical validity. He says it was never was a takana sezer, not true. Okay. Okay. Or he thinks that the Ezra made a clause, Komishirot Libatul, that it says in my Tod Nabgim, Ki Hai Gavna, there's no problem. You don't require doesn't go to Inami, maybe La Pasha Disurb Rabbi Yisrael. The Gemara says that the Bezna has no right to be goes, the Rigzeron came Rabbi Tibi Chalam Lama. But what if the Bezna assessed, they thought that it would be Rabbi Tibi Chalam Lama, and then it turns out that it just was not accepted? Not accepted, so it falls apart. Falls apart. Kidi Amina Gabi Shemin, the pair came Amidim, that what? They made an early exera that Shem and Akam is also, and then they saw that there's Ein Rabbi Tibi Chalam Lama, but the religious Jews are not observing it. So then you can repeal it, and you don't need Gadol B'Chochma Minyan. That's a shaila. You have to repeal it, you don't need Gadol B'Chochma Minyan, or it falls apart by itself. So that's Stira and Gemara's on that. So we shouldn't talk about that, that's Stira and the Gemara. That's a shaila. Did you even need Rabbi Yudah Ben Maseri should repeal it? It wasn't even necessary. It wasn't Pasha Tisura. Fractosis Akasha, V'yafa gav the Mashma Hassan. Did Daniel Gozer Allah, L'hoi Rabbi Yudah Nisiyah, Yochel Avatloi, Afa Pishaloi Pasha, Fractosis, why? If Daniel, the Gemara has two versions, who made the Gzeira on Shem and Akum that was repealed later by Rabbi Yudah Nisiyah? Rabbi Yudah Nisiyah was Amekel. Rabbi Yudah Nisiyah was a grandson of Rabbi Yudah HaNasi, the famous one, who edited the Mishnayos. Rebbe was Rabbi Yudah HaNasi. Rabbi Yudah Nisiyah, same thing. Nisiyah means HaNasi. But when we say Rabbi Yudah Nisiyah, it's referring to the grandson of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who had the same name, probably named after Rabbi Yudah HaNasi. So he repealed, he made two kulas, then he wanted to make a third kula, so they warned him that you'll be known, you'll go down in history as a mekel, so you shouldn't do that. You should be known as a Beit Din HaSharia. So one of his kulas was this, he repealed the Gzera de Rabbanan on Shem and Akum. That was observed for many centuries. Why did he repeal it? What was the basis of repealing it? He wasn't great at B'chokhma V'minya. Gemara says, no, he saw that it wasn't Rabbi Atzi B'chalam Lamba. So the Gemara is mashma there, that if Daniel Gazer Olav, Lohay Rabbi Din Nisi Yochel Avatma, Alpish Le Pasha, why? Well, what's the difference? Who made the original Zera? Why? Because Daniel was greater B'chachma V'minyan than Rabbi Yudah Nisiyah. But they're saying now, Tarsus is claiming, that if it's like Pashat Yisura B'Rabbi Yisrael, then you don't need Gadol B'chachma V'minyan. Otherwise, how can Rabbi Yudah Ben Maseri repeal the Takanas Ezra regarding the Tefillah L'Bali Keria? So Tarsus gets stuck. You see from that Gemara that even though it's saying Rabbi Tzibi Yecholam Lama, but like Pashit Yisur, but Rabbi Yisrael, still you need Gadol B'chachma Minyan. The Avah Gav Tamash Ma'as, indeed Daniel Gozer Olav, L'hoi Rabbi Yudah Nisi Yochel Avat, L'apish Le Pashat. Why? Because Daniel was greater B'chachma Minyan than Rabbi Yudah Nisi. And Vitae says, no, Ha'ed Muslim Tichsi B'kro. The Gemara interprets a Pasuk in Daniel that is referring to this Gzera de Rabbanan. So if that's true, that the Pasuk referring to the Gzera de Rabbanan, then it's treated with a greater chumr. Even though it's lo pashat isuro, you can't repeal it unless you're greater b'chachma minyan. Our takana says lo tzid b'kro, but this takana says about a balkeri, not allowed to learn, not allowed to daven. There's no pasuk for that. You just know about peh. So yeah, we fall back on the regular rules and regulations. They're saying Rabbi tzid b'chadam lamed boy. So either it falls apart by itself, or later bezna has a right to repeal it, even though they're not greater b'chachma minyan.
So this episode.
Also has a pasuk. Yeah, but that's that pasuk. Tesis claims is only an asma. Had the Darshayit also has a pasuk. That's what they're asking. Also has a pasuk. They say no, that pasuk that's only an asma. That's not what it means. But the pasuk in Daniel, that's the machlokes in the Gemara. Is that what the pasuk in Daniel is really referring to? This gzera de rabban that he instituted on the Shem and Akum. And in that case, then you would need a greater bez mechachma v'min to repeal it, or should we assume no, that the pasuk of Daniel is not referring to that, and it was a late exera, it wasn't instituted by Daniel. So this is problematic. Gus says you have a din derabbanon that's alluded to, that's referred to in a pasuk. So then it becomes more serious. That becomes the kabbalah. The dinim deraisa, the dinim derabbanon. So if you have a takana de rabbanon, a lady bez niyachal abatul, if it's greater b'chachma v'minyan. What if the takana de rabbanon was elevated to the level of diri kabbalah? Diri kabbalah means that it has the endorsement, have the approval of the bez shalmai levar, right? That it was incorporated into the kisri hakodesh. Kisri hakodesh were written meruach hakodesh. So if it has the approval of the bez shalmai lo, then you can't just say lo pasha disur b'rav Yisrael. So forget it. You can't do that. But if you would have had a bezin greater b'chachma minyan, then you would be able to. even though it's written in Tanakh. Then you would be able to. It's unclear what Tosis means over here.
Why is it Gara mean a pasuk in the Torah? Pasuk in the Torah.
Same as a pasuk in the Torah. Same thing. If you would have a pasuk in the Torah that's alluding to a takana de rabbanon, like here. And the Gemara says that's the Peshutu Shal Mikra is one level of interpretation. Then in addition to that, it's also alluding to the Takana Om de Nevi'im Shebinem Tiknu the Kriyas HaTar Shenim HaMishi and so on. So that also, if that would be Lod Pashat Mitzvah Sebechol Yisrael, you wouldn't be able to repeal that. That Takana de Rabbanon has the status of a Divi Kapol because it's incorporated in the Kisvei HaKadosh, has the approval of the Bezin Shalmai. That's what they say here. This din that a later Bezin can repeal if the greater Bechachma of the Minyan. And if it's Loi Pashat Yisur Bechol Yisur, then you don't need a greater Bezin Bechachma Minyan. Only applies on a Takana de Rabbanon. But if it's a din de Rabbanon that was elevated to, doesn't apply to a din de Raisa, a Bezin God with Bechachma Minyan can repeal a din de Raisa. It can't. So it doesn't apply to a Dibri Kabbalah. Doesn't apply to a Dibri Kabbalah.
Does this mean even if the other Bezin has another Pshat in that Pasuk?
No. No, the Gemara has in Avarizah, Gemara has two Pshatim in the Pasuk in Daniel. Was Daniel the one who instituted the Gzera the Rabbanon Hashem and Akam, and that's what the Pasuk in Sefer Daniel is alluding to? Oh no, the Pasuk is alluding to something else, and it wasn't at all Daniel. It was instituted by somebody other than Daniel. So if it's instituted by Daniel and that's what the Pasuk is referring to, then this Gzera the Rabbanon Hashem and Akam is elevated to the level of Dibri Kabbalah. Then you can't undo it. Even a greater, a later, the rules and regulations of undoing a takana rabban wouldn't apply. Gadol b'chachma v'minyan or loy pashat yisur, you wouldn't be able to repeal that. If it's a takana rabban that's not incorporated in kisvei HaKadosh, so then you can repeal it.
When this takana says that unpopular tefillah as well as tefillah, the Lord must only be
Yeah, the Mishnayis and Brachas say Balkari has to go to Mikvah in order to daven. The Mishnayis have Keseda like that. The one the end of Yuma has. What if the fellow becomes a Balkari on Yom Kippur? Can he daven Nila? Can he wait till after Shkia and Mincha? Yeah, today's no problem. We'll daven Mincha after the Shkia. You see from the Gemara, the last daven in Yuma that they didn't daven Mincha after the Shkia. So if he becomes a Balkari on Yom Kippur, he didn't daven Mincha yet. You have to go to Mikvah on Yom Kippur. You don't tell me. Go to Mikvah after Yom Kippur is over, then daven Mincha after the Shkia. And the Nila is a Machlekes. Can you daven Nila after the Shkia? So if you can daven Nila after the Shkia, let him go to Mikvah after Yom Kippur. So in the days of the earlier Tanoim, they were still Makbid. And the Takana says for davening, for sure. Shaila only was after they repealed it, after Abinim and Mesir repealed it, Lagabi Divrei Torah, was it also repealed Lagabi davening Anach. So that's the Machlekes, the Rambam and the Rabbah. Yeah.
Why can't we suggest there's a field between Talmud Torah, Shevet, Tershu, and Tavim, then Tershu, and Tavim?
In which direction?
That
Torah, that's hello. Well, the Maimon HaSinu was Torah Shev. So Balkari is just not allowed to learn Torah Shev. He's allowed to learn Torah Shev.
No, he's not allowed to learn Torah Shev.
Well, what was it, HaSinai? The Rabbi Shlomo is just saying what it says in Aseres HaDibros. It wasn't Torah Shabbat Peh. I mean, when he said it, it was Torah Shabbat Peh. It wasn't written down yet.
And also,
now, the Gemara says the Balkari is not allowed to do either. Not Torah Shabbat Sam, not Torah Shabbat Peh. Not allowed to do either. It says privately he's allowed to, but to teach it to others, the Isser is a Balkari is not allowed to teach Torah to others. That's how the Gemara has in Brochus. Okay, we'll lean at it tomorrow. We'll continue. I saw a din in Emma be Yerushalayim. Yeah.
The Chassidim, like all of them, do it as a Chassidim, after the Rambam, or they hold it as military.